Well, this morning I just simply want to share four encouragements from Exodus 14 with you. Four encouragements that I think will speak to all of us, but particularly will speak to you if this morning you're struggling to make sense of the direction your life has taken or is taking at the moment. If actually for you you're finding that the pull to particular temptations feels big at the moment. Or maybe that sense that you're holding back from going all in for Jesus with your life. Something's holding you back. You're holding yourself back. There's an encouragement I hear this morning. I think if you're here and you're feeling like you're not good enough, or I guess the flip side of it, if you're looking around going, I'm probably doing better than other people. There's encouragement here for you if it feels like you've just lost a bit of your sight of Jesus and lost something of that sense of adventure and anticipation that comes with life following him. Four encouragements for the Christian life. Four encouragements have been a particular blessing to me in ways probably more than you could imagine this week. Four encouragements that if you're here with us this morning and you wouldn't yet say, actually, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus yet, I think we'll give four windows onto life and what life is like following Jesus that might just get you over the line and into the Christianity Explore course that starts in Cafe 55 after Easter, beginning at Tuesday nights, beginning on the 9th of April. Four encouragements from Exodus 14. You've already heard them as Jock read. They're in verses 13, 14, and 15. Very simply, do not be afraid. Stand firm. Be still, move on. Move on is not quite phrased in the way I want it to, so I'm going to say go forwards. Four ancient encouragements spoken to God's people. And that's important. We need to realize those four encouragements aren't ours first. They first belong to God's people, trapped and terrified. The Israelites, as we've heard over the past few weeks, they have finally exited Egypt after hundreds of years of being slaves there. We heard last week the firstborn sons of the Egyptians struck down dead dramatically, devastatingly, so that God's firstborn, his people, the people of Israel, might be set free. They were the ones who'd been protected by the blood of the Lamb, covered by that, passed over, set free. If this was a boxing match and you're watching it late on Saturday night, Pharaoh has just been hit with a mighty blow from the Lord and he is flat on the floor. God's people are out, and God is leading them through the deserts. And we discover that God is leading his people in circles in the desert. Why? To give Pharaoh a chance to get up so that the Lord can knock him out once and for all. So these four encouragements arrive when God's people are trapped with the Red Sea in front of them. They turn back and they see the sight of Pharaoh's army behind them. So we read in verse 10, very understandably, they were terrified. They cried out to the Lord. They were terrified and trapped. So what is it that God's people needed to hear before any splitting open of the sea, before any final defeating blow to Pharaoh? Well, let me read again from verse 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians will you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on, to go forward. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Be still. Go forward." And all these years later, as those who know the realities of Jesus Christ, those four encouragements still stand for us this morning. The Exodus story, you see, is not just part of God's great story of salvation worked out that leads us to Jesus Christ. God's great salvation story of Jesus Christ is Exodus shaped. So when we look at this story, we can trace these things. We can trace these encouragements. We can apply them to our own life. So let's hear those four God-given Holy Spirit-inspired encouragements for ourselves this morning. Let's start with, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God's people were terrified. Of course they were. Very relatable, isn't it? Look at the situation. They turn back. It's the Egyptians. At best, it's back to slavery. At worst, they're going to be chopped down. Go forwards, it's the sea. No planes, no ferries, no tunnels, no bridges. It's certain death. What kind of choice is that? Slavery or death? Who wants to make that choice? Maybe you find yourself this morning in what feels like a completely impossible situation. Choosing between bad and bad. And you're fearful, you're terrified. Or maybe more likely you're just weary and worn down from feeling fearful about things. Well, in those moments, those feelings can be transformed when we encounter, like God's people, the reality of the Lord God, the God who appeared to Moses and said, I am who I am. The Lord God who sent those powerful plagues on Egypt but protected his people. The Lord God who claimed the lives of the firstborn Egyptians and yet passed over the lives of the Israelite firstborns, providing that cover of the blood of the Lamb. The Lord God who led his people the long and confusing way round, partly to protect them so they didn't walk straight into the Philistines and go, nope, don't want this, back to Egypt. The Lord God, he led his people by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. The Lord God who was with his people in the pillars of fire and cloud. The Lord God, he didn't leave his people. The Lord God who hardened Pharaoh's hearts so he'd chase after his people. So that God could put his glory on display. People and the world around would know his goodness and his greatness. The Lord God, the Creator, who can split open a sea so that people can walk through. And then people down through centuries can go, well, that's not possible. I want to say, if you're the Creator of the universe, of course it's possible. This is the same Lord God who chose to be born as a baby. The same Lord God who chose to be killed on a cross. The Lord God who has defeated sin and has defeated death, who has undone the worst that could possibly come our way, his own judgment taken on himself in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord God who is with us now, not in a pillar of cloud and fire, but in the presence of his Spirit, and who will one day return to judge and make all things new. Little wonder, right at the end of chapter 14, verse 31, the people feared the Lord and they put their trust in him. We didn't hear it read at the start of chapter 14. But it's very clear that God had been leading his people in circles in the desert. The Lord had created this situation. Why does God do that? Why does God lead our lives into confusing places so that we end up feeling stuck? So we stop trusting ourselves, thinking we can sort our own lives out. This morning, do not be afraid. That's the first encouragement. The second one is stand firm. Stand firm, because verse 13, the Israelites were told, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today, or bring to you today. The Israelites was to stand firm, not just because their situation meant their legs were shaking, but because their legs were at risk of taking them back to Egypt. Listen just to what they say again to Moses in verse 12, when they're trapped and terrified. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? And Moses is going, no, you didn't. You definitely didn't say that. And they go on, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Faced with Pharaoh's army behind them, God's people thought the return to slavery was what they wanted. Now, we don't face Pharaoh's army. But we read in Ephesians 6, don't we, that we're in a spiritual battle and we face rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. They come against us, not with chariots and on horses, but with temptations and accusations. They come against us, we find our desires being drawn towards the very things Jesus died to forgive us from and to free us from. Back to those sinful ways. Those tempting promises come our way, don't they? You know, really, being generous with your money. Come on, it means missing out. Marriage and celibacy. Well, that's going to limit who you really are. Serving quietly, sacrificially. means you're going to be overlooked. Forgiveness, that just means injustice, right? And you don't want to be gentle, because gentleness, that means weakness, right? Those tempting promises come our way, trying to lure us back into slavery. And so we need the encouragement, and again, to stand firm. To stand firm in the gospel, to stand firm in the full armor of God. Just as the Israelites are set free from slavery in Egypt, Jesus has set each one of us, or offers to set each one of us free from slavery to sin. To live freely, the life we were designed, created by God to live. The Israelites were led through the waters, weren't they? The waters for the Egyptians were judgment and death. For God's people, they were led safely through. Through death, through judgment. The same way Jesus leads us through death, through judgment, that we might be safe eternally. The Israelites were told, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again one day. When Jesus returns. That will be the day when all God's enemies will be no more. No more pain, no more death, no more suffering, no more tears. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Be still. When we're under threat, we kind of know, don't we, that people tend to respond in three ways. Flight, run away. Fight, get aggressive. Freeze, do nothing. I wonder which one you go for. And when God says in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, you need only to be still, we kind of get, does that God just mean, is that God saying we just have to freeze in every bad moment, not react? But I think if we read what it's saying there, it's less an encouragement to freeze, much more an encouragement to faith. God's trapped and terrified people, they could do absolutely nothing to fix their situation. They do, in fact, they do the exact right thing. They cry out to God. What they did have was the very great and powerful promise of the Lord. He was going to fight for them. They just needed to be still. Be still and know that He is the Lord. And God fought for them in the most spectacular way. It's the stuff of children's Bibles that, you know, young ones absolutely get entranced. This incredible story. The walls of water pushing back, this path to freedom opening up and then closing again. Closing in on the Egyptian army, that place of judgment, that place of death. We're told in verse 29, aren't we? The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water to their right and to their left. Can you imagine walking along there? That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. Why did the Israelites make it through and the Egyptians not? Maybe as it was read earlier, just a sense of a bit uncomfortable. You know, all the Egyptian army being washed away. Is it because the Egyptians were just nicer? They're better people? Well, I suspect if we could see the reality of their hearts, the answer would have been no. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 gives us the answer. It explains, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Earlier on in chapter 13, we're told it wasn't just the Israelites who left Egypt. It was also the Egyptians who identified with them by putting their faith in the Lord. But can you imagine those different Israelites walking through the Red Sea? I don't know how tall those walls of water would have been, but some of them would have been walking with confidence, pointing, look at what God is doing. He's fighting for us. Let's go. And others would be going, ah! I don't know which one you relate to. But you know what? They all walked through. They all made it to the end. Why? Because it wasn't how good their faith was. It was about who their faith was in. Confident or uncertain, it's faith in the Lord. The Israelites had faith in the Lord God and faith in his rescuer. I wonder if you spotted it at the end, verse 31 of chapter 14. It says, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him. Yeah, we expect that. And then it says, and in Moses, his servant. Moses was their rescuer. Moses was the one who stood in the middle, representing God's people to God and God to his people. When God told his people to stop crying out, why are you crying out? He spoke to Moses. When God parted the seas, it was Moses' stick and hands over the water. Now one greater than Moses has come. So the encouragement to us is to continue to be still, to put our faith in the Lord and his middleman, his rescuer, our mediator, Jesus Christ. Left to ourselves, we are trapped, and there is absolutely nothing we can do about it. We're trapped by slavery, not in Egypt, but to sin. Death and God's judgment are in front of us. And suddenly, it's not about how good you are or how much better than other people you are. It's all about where you're putting your faith. Is it in Jesus Christ and him alone? It's not how good you are. It's about how good he is. God fights for us, doesn't he, in the most spectacular way. A rescue even greater than the rescue through the Red Sea. Jesus makes that path through judgment and death and leads us through. He himself was swallowed up by those waters on the cross in our place so that we might be free to have new life. This morning, be still. Come to communion and know it's not about you, but how good Jesus is. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Be still. Fourth encouragement. Last one. Go forward. Verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. We hear that in the sense of, you know, move on. There's nothing to see here. Actually, no, this is an encouragement to act and to respond because of what is going on. Go forwards. The Israelites were not to stay where they were. They were to walk through the sea. As followers of Jesus, we don't stay where we are, do we? In our evening services, we've had the real joy of looking through the Paul's letter to the Philippians. A really joyful book, but a book that reminds us that if you are in Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. You don't need me to tell you we're not there yet. So what do we do? Well, Philippians, we're told, press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of ye. Forget what is behind, strain towards what is ahead. Press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called us heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Not one of us can drift through the Christian life. We go forwards. Four encouragements from Exodus 14. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Be still. Go forwards. How do we do that? How do we keep these four encouragements in front of our lives this week? Well, I just very quickly to end want to take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2. Paul's looking back at this story. God's people crossing the Red Sea. And he says they were baptized into Moses. For us, our faith is not in Moses, it is in Jesus Christ. We are baptized by faith into him. How do we keep those four encouragements front in our lives this week? Remember your baptism. On a day like today, when it's pouring down with rain, that's not hard to do. Every time you plunge a bowl into the washing up sink, remember your baptism. Every time you take a dip in the bath or go in the shower, remember your baptism. Every time you wash your hands, remember your baptism. When you're afraid, you can say, I am in Christ. He is the one who led me to faith. He is directing my life. When you are tempted to return to sin, remember, I can stand firm. Remember your baptism. I am in Christ. He has freed me from this. When it's tempting to put out our efforts or to look around and go, I'm better than them, remember your baptism. You are in Christ. Be still. And when you've gone off the boil and you're drifting through your Christian life, remember your baptism. You are in Christ. You're a citizen of heaven. Go forwards. And if you're here this morning, if you're not being baptized, maybe you're one of those people I'm having a conversation. I have a lot of conversations with people about baptism at the moment. Well, let's keep that conversation going, shall we? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, please, would you help us this morning to take to heart those encouragements? Please, would you help us not to be afraid? Would you help us to stand firm on the gospel? Would you help our hearts and our lives, in our hearts and our lives, to be still, to know it's not the quality of our faith, but the quality of the one our faith is in? And would that be what moves us and motivates us to go forwards in faith? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.